The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Malpezzi is on deck. He's waiting for me to give him the signal, but I promised to read the man in the arena. This is a speech called Citizenship in a Republic, delivered at Sorbonne in Paris, France, on 23 April 1910. And you can download a complete PDF of this speech. It's a fantastic speech given by Teddy Roosevelt, President Teddy Roosevelt. Here's the most famous quote from it, though, and it won't take long. And this is a favorite of Bill Miles and is quickly becoming a favorite of mine. It is not the critic who counts. I'm gonna inject some stuff here. It's not the troll online that sits back behind his keyboard and hides and throws bombs at you. It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. The man in the arena, Teddy Roosevelt, 1910. Mike Malpezzi, how are you, sir?
Hello, pretty good.
Good. What's going on?
Not much. I got my coffee right here.
Got your coffee? Me too. I've got my, I think this is my third cup of coffee here. So.
Oh, wow. Well, you have my condolences.
Yeah.
This is definitely my first.
I've been on the road since 3 o'clock and, you know, I live on the shore, I live on Easton, so it's, you know, I like to leave down there about 3 and get here between 4:30 and 4:45 to, you know, get ready to go. So, you know, here we are. So let's talk about artificial reefs today.
Sure.
Okay. That's your deal, right?
Yep. That's what I do.
All right. We were talking earlier about Bill Miles, and, years ago I attended a meeting, in Annapolis at a restaurant down there, and it was under the, Ehrlich administration, and the secretary of the Department of Natural Resources at the time was Ron Franks. I don't know if you were in the department at that point or not, but I've got a picture of Dick Franio, the owner of the restaurant, and I can't say the name of the restaurant right now in Annapolis, and the secretary at the time. Little did I know at that meeting, and that meeting was to celebrate the procurement of the funding for the George Washington Bridge reconstruction and the concrete that came from that event going into the Chesapeake Bay. Mary. That was kind of like the beginning of the funding for Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So Bill was there. He shepherded that bill through. A lot of politicians, a lot of groups there. CCA was there and others. And I took a picture of Dick Franio and Secretary Franks. Little did I know that years later I would marry Secretary Frank's eldest daughter.
Oh, wow.
How about that, huh?
That worked out pretty well for me.
Yeah, it worked out great. Worked out great. So Robin is Secretary Frank's daughter, you know, and very proud of the fact that her dad was Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. He's a great guy. He's disabled now with a series of strokes, but still a great guy. I have a great conversation with him all the time. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, man.
It's a small world.
It is. So from that humble beginning to where we are now. What's the latest and greatest on the artificial reefs in Chesapeake Bay?
Well, since you mentioned that right off the bat,
sure.
It's funny because I don't know if you're aware of this yet, but a lot of your Southern Maryland listeners, I'm sure, are. The 301 Bridge across the Potomac.
Yep.
So that's the Harry Nice Bridge.
Right.
So that is coming down. They're, long story short, they're replacing that at some point in the next few years.
Right.
And I've been going to the meetings along with some other, Marty Gary from the Potomac River Fisheries Commission.
And Marty was at that initial Mary meeting, I remember.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So he works for Potomac River Fisheries
right,
Commission.
Exactly.
But he's doing the same thing. We're trying to get the material for, when they demolish the old bridge to get whatever material suitable to be placed on artificial reefs. And, that won't happen until, probably, I'd say, like, optimistically, maybe 5 years from now or so, but we're getting in the early planning stages this time I wasn't here yet, but
right.
My impression is they kind of came in at the end. So hopefully in about, maybe around 2024, 2025, there should be a whole bunch, basically a similar amount of material as the Woodrow Wilson Bridge.
Wow.
Should be going into a few spots in our southernmore,
sure,
southernmost
sure.
sites around the Potomac and Tangier Sound.
I think that was probably 2005, 2006, where the funding started for the Maryland Artificial Reef Initiative, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, that makes sense. They started placing the material, I believe, in 2006.
Right,
so they would have... Hopefully, have the funding.
Yeah. So, well, here we are 12 years later. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember then that Marty had a video that a diver had taken underwater and was showing some of the early reefs, and that there was life buzzing about the reefs. There was you know, plant life growing on there. There were minnows, and I'm sure, you know, if there's minnows or if there's, you know, bait fish, there's going to be big fish. And that type of thing. It's pretty fascinating how quickly a reef can become pretty good habitat for fishing. And,
yeah.
You know, and for marine life and everything else. So the question is, do we have any, you know, 2017, 2018 videos or a video feed from the, you know, from the reef?
I don't have, that's a good question. And, at some point I'm going to talk about our monitoring efforts.
Right.
I've been trying to get out with a diver that we have that volunteers for us since last Thanksgiving, basically.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So we've been stymied by our schedules have been a little cranky, but the really cold winter, earlier this year it was really cold and we couldn't go out, and then it was really rainy and we couldn't go out, and then once it got nice, in the summertime the visibility isn't very great because of all the all the algae in the water, and then he also got busy with all of his other projects that he's been working on that he put off because of the cold and the rain and everything. So we're hoping to get out this fall whenever when the algae starts to dissipate and the water clarity goes up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we have sort of penciled in plans to do that. And among the plans we have are to take videos, pictures as well, but video being the
right.
being big thing. I do have a bunch of videos from around sort of like the 2010, 2012 time, a lot of it of that Woodrow Wilson Bridge material, actually.
Right.
And, it's really amazing how, just in the last,
well, just in a few years, how it really picks up a lot of marine life. And then we've even had, we've had a group from Stevenson University go out and dive on some of our reef ball sites. And that's from just in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
We have some videos of that. And they look really good. Those reef balls were, seeded with spat. We put them in a settling tank with oyster larvae.
Right.
So they're kind of, and they're in a place it's their Tillman Island reef, off of Tillman Island.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in a good place for oysters to grow. So we got, a ton of, long story short, they went out a year later and there's a ton of oysters on the reef ball.
Sure.
And then, also, of note, they noticed a few wild oysters on the previously deployed. There were some like massive concrete blocks from either a bridge or I think it was a bridge, either a bridge or a pier that they placed there about 10 years ago.
Right.
And it had some natural oysters from that hole, you know,
mm-hmm.
comes right out the Choptank River, I imagine, and,
right.
and catches on that material.
What are you hearing from anglers on some of these reefs in the bay?
I hear good things, although I guess they probably wouldn't bother to call me up if it wasn't good. But
right.
I hear good things. When I go out and talk to fishermen at fishermen's groups, I get a lot of enthusiasm. I get a lot of the big complaint I get is lost gear. It's like, you know, I lost the lure on the reefs, which is, unfortunately, there's not much I can do about that. That's just kind of the nature of the beast.
Right.
If you're fishing on a reef like that, you're probably going to, you got to be prepared to lose.
To lose
some tackle a little bit. But I get a lot. Love Point Reef is our most active site just north of Kent Island,
north
of Love Point, sort of mouth of the Chester. And we've added several thousand tons of material there in the last few years, just since I started a couple of years ago. And I was actually surprised at the diversity that people have told me about at that site. One of the volunteers I work with, he works for U.S. Fish and Wildlife. He was catching like speckled trout
mm-hmm.
over the reef. He said they weren't down. He wasn't jigging like on the material, but they were kind of hovering
over
the water column over it.
Yeah. Suspended.
And then further south, like we have a site in Tangier Sound that we just placed some material at about a little over a year ago. Some concrete pipe from a precast company.
Mm-hmm.
That site's been producing some similar things. So I got a report of some speckled trout, someone caught some small drum, a puppy drum that
right.
people talk about. Black sea bass are there as well.
Yep, in the bay. Yep.
Yeah, until I started this job, I never thought of black sea bass in Chesapeake Bay.
Oh yeah. I caught them years ago, a little further south. Yeah.
Yeah, and we have videos and pictures of black sea bass on, and kind of like in numbers on our it's actually CBF site, but the Cook's Point Reef just north of or just towards the mouth of the Choptank River.
Right,
a bunch of reef balls there, and we've seen them on that site. So anyway, yeah, there's a pretty good species diversity that you see on our reef. It's not just white perch. It's kind of which
right.
I mean, nothing wrong. I love going out and catching like
right.
a ton of white perch.
But, sure.
But yeah, there's a pretty good amount of different species you can catch.
Sure.
CBF is actually doing it'll be the second year that they're doing a tournament on in mid-October. And the theme of the tournament is it's at several different artificial reef sites around the sort of Tillman Island area.
Right.
And one of the categories is most species.
Most species
that people catch. So
yeah, I got it. I got it. Well, you know, we
So in the bay, approximately how many locations are there? Just ballpark it on
there. About 20. Well, it's a little bit more than 20. So we have about 20 active ones.
Okay.
And there have been a few over the years that I still will occasionally hear about. Oh yeah, the site at whatever point that they placed stuff at, you know, way back when.
And it's
so
anything from
25, maybe 30.
Okay.
Sites, depending on sort of on how you count them.
Yeah, of course. So it's anything from, you know, waste construction concrete to, I guess concrete makes a pretty good base because it's, you know, semi-porous and you can, you know, things can attach to the little tiny crevices and cracks in concrete. Also, you pile concrete on top of each other, you're going to create holes for habitat. You're going to have places where, you know, not only bait fish can hide, but also, you know, predator species can ambush their prey as well. You're going to have oysters on there filtering the water. It's impossible to oyster those things. So, you know, you're not going to have any oyster dredges going over top of them or tongers hitting them pretty hard. So, you know, in all, it sounds like it's pretty beneficial. Anything in concrete blocks, the reef balls, I guess, are made out of also of concrete. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, the reef balls are made out of concrete. Let me ask you, do you have any use for a piano? We've got one in the back room that needs to go.
If it was made, well, not if it's made of wood. If it's some if it's some strange like steel piano, we might be able to work with you on it.
Oh,
wood is a no no.
Yeah. I get it.
Just because it's not heavy enough and it gets washed away.
Well, I mean, but a piano, for God's sake, it's full.
Yeah.
You know, it's full
but
of
it would
steel,
be a nice,
steel guts. You know,
it'd be a good surprise for divers.
Yeah, and we'll throw the bench in for free.
Yeah, we get a lot of calls for people with wooden boats.
Yep.
Especially the common one. And we don't really do too many vessels in Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah, offshore I know they do subway cars and battleships and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. So. But we basically don't have the depth for it.
Right.
If a boat's big enough to be stable on the bottom, you know, and not move around in a storm, then it's probably too big. You probably don't have enough water. It'd be an artificial island,
sure.
An artificial reef.
Yeah.
But we did just put a barge at our Tangier Sound site. So a contractor in Salisbury had an old barge, like an old steel deck barge. It had had a good life.
And, yeah, sure.
And was at the end of its sort of service life.
Got it.
So we took it down. They pushed it down the Wicomico to our Tangier Sound site, and they sunk it there. So that was just at the beginning of this summer. It was just a few months ago. So I don't have any pictures from it, or I haven't even really received any too many anecdotes about it from fishermen. I saw it. One guy showed it to me on his depth finder, but he didn't fish on it.
Got it.
But it's right smack in the middle of the site. Near those concrete pipes I talked about earlier.
Got it.
So that's about it for us for vessels.
All right. Well, we kind of covered the bay there. Let me take our first commercial break here, and we'll get back to you and talk a little bit more about some of the stuff offshore. Is that all right?
Sure.
All right. That sounds cool. All right. It's time for, you know, bow season, of course, and I want to talk to you a little bit about Clyde Sports Shop. The Coda Bow. Maryland's leading Coda Bow dealer is Clyde Sports Shop, KODABOW. Check it out if you want to. Stop down the shop and check out this very technical, very accurate, very deadly crossbow by Coda Bow. And then there's also the Bear X crossbows, the Torrid and the Physics. If you want to check that out on a little lower priced end, if you just want to get out in the woods, the Parker crossbows and bows and everything that you need to equip your crossbows available at Clyde Sports Shop. Now, muzzleloader season coming up next month, of course. They have the new Thompson Center. They have them all. Triumph, Omega, Encore, the Pro Hunter FX, and all the muzzleloader accessories for Thompson Center. And then they carry the Ultimate Muzzleloader from Remington. This is an amazing piece of equipment. You need to take a look at it and check that out, the Ultimate Muzzleloader from Remington at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307
Hammonds Ferry Road. Of course, they're also into the waterfowl as well. Everything from, you know, the dove ammo, the dove stools, the dove decoys, everything you need there. And the waterfowl, too, you know, for the early resident geese and so forth. And your full-line Browning dealer, which Browning, you know, shotguns and rifles and handguns have rebates on them right now from $50 to $100. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That's Clyde's Sports Shop, 242-6108. 24-hour, 7 days a week fishing hotline, 247-FISH, 247-FISH. Hey, for almost 10 years, hunters have relied on OnX to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. OnX Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that give clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in the conservation and the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or on your handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with OnX Hunt. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Hey, when you know what you, when you go across the Bay Bridge, you know, and you're going down 50, and, you know, the traffic's starting to slow down a little bit right there in that busy section. Well, you're looking for exit 39B. That's Dominion Road. You'll see the big sign on the road that says Chesapeake Outdoors. Get off that next exit right there between the Exxon and the 7-Eleven and go around the block, and you're right in the parking lot of Chesapeake Outdoors. Now, why is that special? Well, if you like to fish, they got everything you need for fishing. They got all the rods and reels and the trolling tackle and the, you know, the live bait, the frozen bait, everything for crabbing, the pots, the traps, the trot lines, and all that. But it's hunting season, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Matthews Solo Cam compound bows. Let's talk about the clearance sale on all the Hoyt compound bows. There's a large selection in stock, and they're all clearance priced. Let's talk about crossbows. The number one crossbow in the country right now is the Raven, R-A-V-I-N. Yes, not the football team. The crossbow, R-A-V-I-N, exactly. Excalibur, 10-point, Carbon Express, Mission, and Barnett crossbows are available. All the arrows, all the accessories, all the sights, all the rests, all of everything for your bow and for deer season are right there. Now, let's switch. Scentlock clothing, too. Let's switch to waterfowl. Largest selection of waterfowl calls in the area. Of course, geese are starting to, you know, move. The resident geese have got their feathers back. They're flying all over the place. I see them every day in Easton. The largest selection of waterfowl calls in the area. Decoys, steel shot, gear, camo, banded camouflage clothing, all the boots, hips, and waders you could need, want, or imagine, Remington and Chapa shotguns, and all the ammunition, too. Muzzle loaders and accessories by Thompson Center and CVA. All this at Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Ken Island. That phone number, 410-604-2500. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers, Chesapeake Outdoors. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a battery warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the battery warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
To get good, but we got to get back to our show here, you know? But that is a great song to go to the bathroom to. I mean, seriously, if you're on the air and you need to go, you just put that on and let her play, right? That and Inagata DeVita. Let's talk to Mike Malpezzi with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Am I saying your name right, Mike?
Yeah, that's right.
I got it.
I get there's a wide variety.
How do you pronounce your own name?
I say Mike Malpezzi.
Malpezzi, there you go.
That's my thing. If you're using it as a nickname, like my friends, and they just call me like, hey, Malpezzi, they say, hey, Malpezzi. Like
Malpezzi, that's nice.
That's the nickname version of it.
Got it. You and Z-Man make a good team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my predecessor also had more Z's in his last name.
Exactly.
Than normal.
Got a question from a listener. Want to know if you guys ever use tires for Reese, something in abundant supply.
Yeah, so we have in the past.
Okay.
In fact, some of the first material that was placed at a lot of our sites in the 60s were tire units. So they'd sort of lash them together and fill the bottoms with concrete and place them in. So they actually work pretty well as habitat. And they're not as toxic as they once thought they were.
Right.
But we don't use them anymore, because they're not the best, because they don't harm the bay, but they're just not optimal.
And they're not going to break down as much.
Yeah. And it hasn't been a problem for us in the bay yet, like knock on wood. But offshore, there have been issues where I think it's because of the swell offshore, just like the constant,
right.
you know, like swaying where they will, a lot of times they use cables to stay them, to get them together.
Right.
Well, after time, that cable basically saws through the tire.
Right.
And then, a storm comes through and they all wash up on the beach is basically.
It's like the
PR nightmare kind of thing that happens.
Sure.
But, or they just move around and all of a sudden.
Right.
You don't know where they are. So they've stopped using tires.
Got it.
Pretty much across the board. So all the states on the East Coast.
Sure.
No longer use it. And all the states on the East Coast used to use them.
Yep.
But we don't use them, anymore. But having said that, we did a survey, like a side scan survey of Love Point, when I first started. And there were, I think, 400 tire units placed there in 1968. And I mean, I didn't count them all, but they appear to all still be there.
Good. Glad to hear that.
So they act, and I've heard from Monty Hawkins, who does the Ocean City Reef Foundation.
You're reading my mind. I was going to bring up, yeah.
Yeah, so he says they have ones offshore there, and he said they still produce, I guess, black sea bass.
Yep.
Just love them.
Yep.
But not anymore. So
yeah,
concrete and steel are pretty much the materials that we stick with now.
Yeah.
Just because they're predictable and they're safe.
And they're
in abundance. Basically.
And semi-biodegradable.
And
non-toxic. Monty sends out his fish report to a lot of folks every night, the folks that fish with him and so forth.
Oh yeah.
And he invites people to bring concrete blocks on, to the dock if you're going fishing with them, and they'll just shove them overboard on the reefs that are already out there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Iron Lady, they do that. I went out fishing with him one time a couple of years ago, and mm-hmm. they did that. And yeah, he's got a few spots that are sort of going by the slow and steady wins the race.
Yes, exactly.
Which isn't to say that's the only. They also do I haven't checked in with him too recently, but I mentioned that barge that we placed earlier.
Yeah.
We sort of, I don't want to say poached that from him, but they
but you did.
Went to Monty and asked him if he wanted it, and it turned out it wasn't in. They were unsure that it would make the trip offshore. It was fine for the bay, fine for the Wicomico River, but
sure.
But offshore, if they ran into some weather, it could be a problem. So,
mm-hmm.
so I took it, and then I talked to him a little while, about a month later, and said, "Yeah, sorry about that." And he's like, "What are you talking about? We're on our third barge this year."
Right.
So
yeah.
Like, you don't.
Got it.
So he's been doing that. I know he has a big project with the Nature Conservancy that's sort of in the works.
Yep.
I think they're going to build like a stone reef. So yeah, he's a mover and a shaker, and he's always building stuff. So
yep. That's a good thing. He's
yeah.
That'll be his legacy. The legacy that nobody can see.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Unless you get that.
Big structures at the bottom of the ocean. That's pretty cool though, actually. So very good. So anything else in the news there, Mike, on the artificial reef front?
Well, let me think. We've done.
You wanted to talk about the monitoring survey or the monitoring process?
So we have. So in the past, up until recently, our monitoring has mostly been basically go down, either do some side scan work, go over it with a depth finder or a side scan unit to make sure that the material is still in place and hasn't silted over and that sort of thing, and then go down and take pictures of it to see sort of qualitatively. You know, is this material working? And it, usually that was kind of like a yes or no question. So they go down and it's either teeming with life and it's like, yeah, this is a good spot, or there's a couple, not too many, or the sites are pretty well located. But, or, you know, if we find a site that, you know, goes anoxic every summer, so we go down there and we just see black, you know, muck covering it, then we know, okay, don't place more material here because it's probably going to, it won't do too much good. And there's really only like one site that's
right.
True of. But that was kind of the focus of our monitoring.
How does that happen or why?
The low oxygen water happens from the algae coming down.
So it becomes a focal point for dead zone, kills everything on the reef, basically.
Yeah, and that the site that happens in is one of the it's our deepest site. It's like in the main stem.
I got it.
It doesn't go hypoxic every summer, it appears. And it's built up a bit. The idea was to build it up high enough that it kind of poked out of the hypoxic water along the bottom, mm-hmm. so that there'd be habitat, kind of like an island of habitat that was, you know, in good water, you know, surrounded by hypoxia.
Right.
I've heard of people in the middle of the summer catching like croaker at the geese's, and
right.
when it's surrounded by low oxygen water, so they must be fish utilizing it, and there must be stuff growing on it as
sure,
well.
Sure.
That's attracting them. Okay. But now we're switching to we funded a couple projects in association with CBF and UMSES, the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science.
Right.
So we had a couple researchers from the Horn Point Lab in Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
They raised up a couple reef balls, or three reef balls actually, from the Choptank River Bridge Pier between the
right.
The new bridge and the old bridge that's been turned into a pier down in Cambridge. It's filled in with reef balls there. So they had a diver go down. They lifted up three reef balls that have been in place for about about 5 years or so. Took them on deck. They placed them in a large, basically a large container, like an incubation container,
right?
Filled with seawater, filled with, you know, bay water,
right?
And then they sealed it all up, and they measured. They measured everything. They measured oxygen, chlorophyll, all the different types of nitrogen, like nitrate, nitrite, all that, to see kind of like how the metabolism of the reef ball actually essentially cleans up the water.
So, right.
That was just a few weeks ago.
So that data has to be analyzed and so forth, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So
that's the first. That's the first study of that type that I've found.
Right.
It's going to be really interesting what they find, because we've been using reef balls and saying like that these clean up the bay, but we haven't actually figured out how much does one reef ball, you know,
right.
Clean up the bay, you know, does it just filter out particulate material, or does it actually take away dissolved nitrogen that's in the water.
Mm.
So there's a lot of these like specific questions that they're going to be able to answer with that. And hopefully also kind of fine tune their method and do it again, as necessary to get the data they need. And then we did a similar project with CBF, where, Mari basically funded it, where another researcher from Horn Point, placed a current profiler in the middle of a field of reef balls,
okay,
in the Severn River,
right,
what they looked at, they measured the currents in this area before they placed the reef balls, and then afterwards. And he's an expert in water turbulence, so like mixing in the water
right.
column, and he's looking to see if basically the water flowing over these reef balls, it'll kind of get, you know, roughed up, and it'll cause, you know, eddies and turbulence to swirl off of them.
Right.
And hopefully kind of help mix the oxygen-rich water that's in the surface layer with the oxygen-poor water that's on the bottom.
So the artificial structure on the bay could actually aid in not necessarily cleaning up the bay, but livening up the bay because of the effect on the...
Exactly. Right. And it's another idea that we sort of had for a while, and there's some anecdotal evidence that maybe this is happening, and we've like suspected it for a long time. But this is the first time that we're actually, as near as I can tell, the first time that someone's looking at it.
Right.
From like a real quantitative point of view. So those are two pretty kind of exciting monitoring projects that we have.
Cool.
And then in addition to that, we have the old-fashioned go down with a diver and take some cool pictures and video.
Yep.
Hopefully it'll happen this fall, once the water gets a little more,
mm-hmm.
Once the clarity improves a bit.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it all sounds You know, in a world that, you know, we've got to have action, you know, we got to have fish biting all the time. We got to be out there doing something and, you know, making things happen. But, you know, underneath the surface where it appears very calm, there's a lot of dynamics in play. And that's what, you know, that's what you guys do. You go out there and you do the hard work to make sure that the rest of us have, you know, something to fish for. And that's
absolutely,
you know, that's the thing. You guys do the hard work. So, you know, my kudos to the folks that are doing this research. And I've always given props to the boots on the ground folks, the biologists and the researchers that work for our Department of Natural Resources, because you guys are getting the hard work done that benefits everybody. So, you know, you know, it sounds like, okay, we're going to go take pictures of concrete on the bottom of the bay. But you know what? Somebody's got to do it. And we got to find out, you know, what's actually happening down there, and can it be better? You know, we've got MSX and Dermo out there killing our oysters in the upper bay, and it's endemic. It's never going to go away. There's no way to kill it. There's no way to do anything about it. The only thing we can do is grow more oysters, you know, in a couple other places maybe to clean up our bay. And, you know, you guys are doing that work. And, you know, not just for fish habitat, but for oyster structure and everything else. So, you know, hats off to you guys.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
You got it.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention, so the great thing about my job is I get to work pretty closely with a lot of anglers and angler groups.
Yep.
And I mean, you know this, but fishermen tend to be a pretty dedicated group to work with. So a lot of the, especially with the reef balls, I won't mention any names because I can't mention them.
I got it.
I can't mention them all, but just we work with so many fishing clubs and so many different NGOs and fishing groups that do a lot of the work with either outreach or physically building the reef balls.
Yep.
It really makes my job a lot easier to have, you know, basically the people of Maryland, really supporting the program and in time and money and everything that they do. So it's a good community to work with. And it makes my job really easy.
Sometimes. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I'm not going to lie. Right. So.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
We're going to let you go. We're going to take our final break here. We're going to let you go. I've got some things to say in the final segment. So we just want to thank you for coming on again today and giving us the update, and we'll keep our eye on it.
Okay, great.
Thank you, buddy. You have a wonderful day and a great weekend, Mike.
You too.
All right. Thank you. There he goes. Mike Malpezzi, Maryland Department of Natural Resources, talking about the Maryland Aquatic Reef Initiative and all the different projects going on under that. So, let's see. What do I have to do here? Oh, I know what I have to do. For almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that give clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt. And you download that right on your smartphone, and you'll know right where you are, wherever you are.
WCBM, Baltimore.
All of a sudden, tropical features ganging up on us here in Baltimore. What's left of Gordon coming in from the west this weekend with rain showers, thunderstorms, and high humidity through Monday. It has cooled our numbers some. 71 our high today with an 80% chance of rain showers and thunderstorms. More rain Sunday in the mid-60s. Then we'll have to watch Florence, expected to become a hurricane this weekend out over the open waters of the Atlantic and approach mid and late part of the week coming up. I'm Scott Laurie, more with the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number 1, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. warranty. Linex brand bed liner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bed liner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Hey, let's talk about Clyde Sports Shop in Browning. You know, hunting season's here. Okay. A lot of our, my friends are, you know, associates are out in the wilderness hunting right now. We've got two guys in the Yukon. One's on a bow hunt for grizzly bears with a bow and arrow, caribou and moose. Another one is, one of our directors, Dale Gertz. He's in Yukon or Alberta for bighorn sheep. A lot of folks are going elk hunting, bow hunting for elk in the western states. Folks are out there, been out for antelope in, you know, Wyoming and other places. So what I want to talk about are the Browning firearms here. If you're going to go to one of these far-reaching places, I want you to consider the Hell's Canyon Speed X-Bolt. This comes in ATAX, which is arid urban camouflage. Comes with a DuraTouch finish that, you know, just can... It's just a great finish on the stocks, composite stock, a Cerakote finish on the barrel, a fluted Sporter barrel with a threaded muzzle brake, detachable rotary magazine, short throw bolt, adjustable trigger bolt action in select calibers. But I'll tell you something about this Hell's Canyon Speed. This is a gun to take out west. It's lightweight. It's very accurate. You put good optics on it, and you're good to go. Now, that's just one of the X-Bolt models. The standard model looks like every other bolt-action rifle. Comes in all Magnum, short Magnum, and standard calibers, and that is extremely extremely accurate firearm from Browning. And then, for the economy-minded, you know, you're just regular deer hunter guy, the AB3 Hunter comes in 243, 308, 270, 30-06, 7mm 08, 7mm REM mag, and 300 Win mag. Comes with a 4-12 BDC rifle scope from Nikon, a Nikon Buckmaster, as a package, and it's a very reasonably priced package, and it puts a Browning in your gun case. So there you go. Clyde Sports Shop, your full-line Browning dealer. Lots of rebates on lots of Brownings. And they're located 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit number 9. Phone number 410-242-6108, 242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. 24-7 Fishing Hotline, 247-3474-247-FISH at Clyde Sports Shop.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, Chesapeake Outdoors. You know what? They got fishing and crabbing stuff. If the weather gets nice again, you're going to be able to get, you know, and check out their large selection of Costa sunglasses and Yeti coolers and tumblers and Bubba Blade knives and, you know, all the waterfowl stuff that they have, the steel shot, the calls, the decoys and so forth. But right now it's bow season, so let's talk about that. Compound bows by Matthews and Hoyt, and all the Hoyt bows are on clearance right now. Large selection in stock. Get in there and get a great bargain on one. Raven crossbows, Excalibur crossbows, 10-point, Carbon Express, Mission, and Barnett crossbows, and all the arrows and accessories and bow tuning and everything you need. The Rambo electric bikes to get back in the cover. The Scentlock apparel, banded camo for the waterfowlers, Remington and Chiappa shotguns and firearms, muzzleloaders and accessories by Thompson Center and CVA. I think you get the idea.
that Chesapeake Outdoors is your first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road. That's right there on Kent Island in Chester, Maryland, in case you're Googling that or if you're, GPSing it. 410-604-2500. Their friendly and courteous staff is standing by to serve you. 410-604-2500. Chesapeake Outdoors.
Talk Radio 680. WCBM.
I ain't never shot no big rag buff. No one ever stops to peek in the bed of my truck. I come home empty-handed 'cause I got no luck. Yeah, I'm pretty bad at hunting deer. Their shows on my TV. Spooks Band's my hero, got a crush on Tiffany. The Bone Collector Michael Waddell makes it look easy, but I'm pretty bad at hunting deer. I wear my rubber boots, I got a Ziploc suit, around a bag and drunk call.
Pour got all that stuff.
69, I use it all the time, but got no buck on my wall. Never had blood smeared on my face, but there's cut shirt tail pieces all over the place. My hunting buddies say I'm just a big disgrace, 'cause I'm pretty bad at hunting deer.
All right, we gotta go. All right, look, I got something to say, okay? We are having a benefit on the Eastern Shore for the Maryland Hunting Coalition. We are the only voice in Annapolis for hunters in Maryland. We're there to defend our traditions. We're there to uphold our traditions. We're there to give us the best advantage on the regulations and laws in Maryland. Now, there are local laws that need to be passed on a local basis, you know, like Sunday hunting bills and things like that. But for the benefit of hunters in Maryland, you got one choice, Maryland Hunting Coalition. Eastern Shore hunters, the benefit is September 9th. It's at Annie's Paramount Steakhouse in Kent Narrows. The information is on the website, www.mdhuntingcoalition.org. You can download the flyer. You can purchase your tickets. The bonus, early bird bonus raffle, 3-for-1, ends Sunday night at midnight. That's $300 worth of raffle tickets for $100, the best deal on the planet. Maryland Hunting Coalition, we would love to see you at our benefit. Corporate tables are only $400, so business owners, you can sponsor the event and get great recognition. All right, that's all I'm going to say. If you need to get in touch with me, Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. Now get out, stay safe.